Praise the Lord. Every now and again, when I stand here on a Sunday night, in a very real sense, I kind of take a trip back some 21 years, and I can see myself sitting in this congregation and remember that at that time I had been coming to this church off and on for about 2.5 years or something to that effect. But I was not at that stage ready to commit my life to serving the Lord in the way that I knew was right. And I wasn't ready to commit myself to the family of the Lord because I had known, as most people have, so much pain and times of bitterness and anger and confusion, the sense of betrayal and so on and so forth. I didn't know who I could trust. So I would come here to this church and I would sit in the balcony. And if someone had asked me, "Why are you here?" I don't know if I would have been able to answer them. I would have known that I could have been anywhere, that I could have been sitting in any community, if you will. I could have made my choice and decided to sit, as the Bible said, in the seat of the scorners or the mockers or so on and so forth. But my question, if I was speaking to me 21 years ago, my question would be, why are you sitting here when you could be sitting anywhere else? There was a man in the time that the disciples of Jesus began to spread the gospel, a man who sat at the temple, a place called the Beautiful Gate. And he would sit there, you know, day in and day out. And I wonder why he sat there. Is any place he could have been? Anything he could have been doing? He was looking to receive certain things, but he could have sat anywhere and got that. Why was he there? And I'm wondering if there's anyone in this room who you've been here, you've been coming here, and yet you've never really asked yourself, I'm talking about somebody who's not yet given themselves over to the way of the Lord. You've never really asked yourself, why am I sitting here when I could be anywhere? And I'm thinking that maybe this man, the Bible says that he sat at the Beautiful Gate and he asked for alms. Basically, this was a man who was paraplegic and he needed help. And so, like I said, he could have sat anywhere and asked for alms, but he chose to sit in the temple. I'm thinking maybe there's a possibility that there was more to what he wanted than what he initially thought. I'm thinking maybe he sat there because he knew that there would be people moving back and forth among him that might give him more than simple alms, but that might give him their attention. That might say to him that you matter. And maybe he couldn't get that anywhere else. I know when I would come to this church, one of the things that I enjoyed was the fact that people made me feel like I mattered. At that time in my life, I lived in the street of New York City. I had no friends. I had no family. And I would come to this place and be made to feel like I matter. And for me, that meant everything. It was what I needed to have happen in my life at that time. I don't know if I could have functioned without it. It was my lifeline. So I came for that reason. I also came probably for the same reason that he came. People would just bring him there and they would sit him there. And I came because another reason is that people invited me. They simply said, "You're welcome here." Well, they said, "You can get help here." Or they said that this is where you need to be. And whether I was initially moved by that, I was at least concerned with the fact that there was somebody who was trying to help. Maybe the message that they were saying, you know, this is going to happen, that's going to happen, maybe I wasn't so moved by that. But the fact that they said, let me help you, let me bring you to this place, was in some cases enough to get me here. And there are people that are sitting here tonight simply because somebody who cared brought you here. So there's some people that are sitting here tonight because when you come here, people treat you well. People show you love. Others, because somebody brought you here. Some might be like I was when I first started to come. It's just out of habit. I was, like so many testimonies that you hear, I was exposed to church life at a very young age and heard a lot of good teachings and so on and so forth. Moved away from it because I was never convinced ultimately that this was to have significant impact in my life. But it was still a habit. And when I was out there and it was cold and it was dark and it was scary, I came here because I knew that at least there is a sense of regularity. I feel like I know this. It's familiar. And it gave me moorings. It gave me a sense that at least I knew where I was. And maybe that's why that man was there. Maybe it was because of the hope and the pomp and the ceremony of the songs whenever the people would go up to offer their sacrifices, or when it was a joyous place. And maybe his life didn't have a lot of joy. Maybe his life had a certain amount of pain. I know that's the way my life was. I would come here and there would be joy. And there would be songs, and there would be hope, and there would be a sense that everything is going to be all right. And I felt like, yeah, I want to be a part of that. I want to experience that. So I would come because it was uplifting. And for a moment at least, my soul was able to forget about the pain. But there was another reason that I came, which wasn't so good a reason. And it was because I was always looking for an excuse to not come back, if that makes any sense. You know what I mean? So I was looking for that lone hypocrite over in the corner somewhere, you know what I mean? Just so that I could say, you see, that's why I don't go to church. You know what I mean? There's always a thousand reasons in it why people come to a place like this, and why we sometimes will sit in a place like this, sometimes for years. Another reason that I came was I was looking to see if there was anybody who actually believed in God. That was, to me, a very serious thing. Because my thought was, if I'm going to serve the Lord, then I'm going to do it right. I'm going to serve him. So my thought was, can it be done? Is there anybody who's really seeking God? The one thing that I didn't expect was I never expected to actually meet with God. I expected all those other things. And to a certain degree, I got those other things. I felt joyous, and I felt hope for a moment. And I felt like, wow, there are people who show me respect. And I felt like, wow, I do see people who actually believe in God. And I even got a chance to see one or two hypocrites. You know, so I pretty much got everything I expected. But the one thing I didn't expect was that I would actually meet God. And that's the same thing as this man who came and he was asking for alms, and he got what he expected, but then he got something that was unexpected. As he's sitting there, the Bible says two men come and they look at him. probably different than anybody had looked at him before. They probably didn't simply look at him with pity. I think they saw something else. They saw that this person is actually seeking something. This person really wants something, doesn't necessarily know how to define what he's looking for. But they saw something in him. And they stretched out their hands toward him. And then they said something. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, get up and walk. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. And I want to suggest to you, because you've heard the testimonies, you've heard the songs, you've seen, and many, God is telling me that there's a handful of people who have been here, coming to this church off and on for a little while. There is a true person named Jesus Christ. He lived 2,000 years ago. He laid his life down so that you and I don't have to die. He took the punishment of our sin upon himself. After 3 days, he rose again from the grave. He showed himself to many people, and then he ascended into the glory of heaven. There is a witness to his reality. When those men said, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, something in that person, something in that man that laid there said, this is what I've been looking for. I don't know how it happened, but I don't see John and Peter, as they're talking to this man, trying to convince him with 1,000 different arguments. I don't see them trying to force him into their particular religion. I see them speaking a name that is above every name, a name that alone brings real life. Real forgiveness, real strength to stand. And I see the true Jesus bearing witness as they mention his name to that particular man. And the Bible says the man simply got up. Now, there's a lot of things that are going on in a lot of churches all over the place where people are trying to coerce and people are trying to somehow make something happen. Look, if there is no God, I don't want you to come to this altar. But if there is, then he can bear witness to himself. And he can make you know that there is such an one as Jesus Christ. And he can make you know that Jesus is your health and Jesus is your healing and Jesus is your strength. He can make that name bear witness to itself and bear witness to your heart. Now, I know without equivocation that there is such an one as God. I know without equivocation that Jesus is his son. I know without equivocation that his Holy Spirit is in this house right now. And his Holy Spirit is beginning to convince certain hearts. Now, here's what I'm going to do. I'm not going to try to talk anybody in this room into anything. I'm simply going to remind you that there is such an one as Jesus. That there is true healing. There is true health. There is true forgiveness. There is true love. There is true fellowship. There is true salvation. He can and will save you. And I'm going to believe that there's something going on in your heart right now. Where it's not enough for you to settle for those things that we mentioned. That you know that you need Jesus. You know that you need Jesus. And there's something in your heart. You feel it. Your heart is being moved and you know it. Nobody has to convince you of anything. You know it. Jesus is calling you. The Bible says that man, when he heard that, he leapt up and he went into the house of the Lord. No longer on the fringes, no longer on the outskirts. He went into the house of the Lord and began to leap and dance and bear witness to the goodness of God. Hallelujah. I'm going to say this and then I'm going to invite you to come to the Lord. Listen to me, please. I believe in God. I know this sounds strange for a preacher to say, but I believe in God. And I believe that he's speaking to you. I believe that he's speaking to your heart. I believe that he's touching you right now. I believe that he's inviting you in. I thank God for the privilege of sharing with you, but Jesus doesn't need my help. He's speaking to you. And I trust him today. I trust him. I trust that he's speaking to you. I trust that he's drawing you to his love. So if you don't mind, I'm going to shut up now. And I'm going to believe God. If the Lord is speaking to you, if you're hearing his voice, don't deny that impulse. Don't deny it. If he's speaking to you, God knows. I believe that he is. And you've been here for a while, or you just walked in the door. But you want to give your life to Jesus because you know that you belong to him. And you know that he's your hope. You saw the bravery of these men and women tonight. They weren't afraid. They weren't ashamed. They laid their life open for you. I'm going to ask you to do something that's brave too. I'm simply going to ask you, would you raise your hand if the Lord Jesus is speaking to you? This is your life, not mine. This is yours. I got nothing at stake. This is your life. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 Let's raise your hand. Just keep them up. In a moment. Hallelujah. In a moment, I'm going to ask the congregation to stand. And when they do, I'm going to ask you to come to the front of this auditorium. And we're just going to pray together. We're not going to ask you to do anything strange. We're just going to pray with you. If you're here because somebody brought you, and you're a little bit timid about coming up, just why don't you just lean over them and say, look, if you'll go with me, I'll go up. If you brought somebody, you can lean over to them and say, if you want, I'll come up with you. This is your life, do you understand? We're not doing head counts here. This is you. It's you. If I was standing there, you know, sitting there 21 years ago, man, as a preacher right now, I'd plead, please, please, aren't you tired of running? Please get up. You ever have one of those dreams where you know, you're in this midst of a nightmare and you're trying to wake yourself up? That's the way I would preach to myself. Get up, get up, get up, get up, get up. You don't have to live like that anymore. Let's stand together in the house of the Lord. If God is speaking to you and you want to pray, please don't hesitate. If this is your first time, if you have backslidden, you hear some of the testimonies, and you want to come back to the Lord, please, please continue to come. Begin to come. Balcony, main floor, this is your life. This is your life. This is your time. Don't let anything rob you of it. Don't let anyone rob you of it. This is the beginning of everything for you. The end of a nightmare. Oh, man, if I could, as Pastor Curtis says sometimes, if I could just grab you by the proverbial lapel, I would. I would. If I was sitting there, like I said, I would say to myself the way I would if I was in the middle of a nightmare, in the middle of a bad dream, and I would just say, wake up, wake up, wake up, wake up, wake up. This doesn't have to happen to you. Wake up. This doesn't have to be your life. Wake up. Wake up. Wake up. Wake up. Wake up. Don't let the devil lie to you. Don't let him lie to you. Hallelujah. Continue to come. Continue to come. Continue to come. If you feel it in your heart is being warmed, continue to come. There's something in you. Don't fight it. Don't fight it. Don't fight it. Don't fight it. Look to your brother. Look, somebody, just look to somebody and just ask them, do you want to go up? I'll go with you. Just lift, just ask somebody. Don't be afraid. This is evangelism night. Don't be afraid. If you can't do evangelism here, you can't do it out there. Just lean over to somebody and say, do you want to go up front? I'll help you. I'll walk with you. Don't be afraid. This is how you practice good evangelism. Just lean over to your neighbor and say, if you want to go to the front, I'll go with you. Continue to come. Continue. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We got all night. We ain't going nowhere. Continue to come. Continue to come. This is your time. This is your life. This is your Lord. This is your Savior. This is your Jesus. He loves you so very, very much. He loves you so much. Don't be afraid to come from the balcony. You know your way down. Same way you got up. Just do it backward, right? Come on down. We'll wait for you. We'll wait for you. That's where I used to sit, so I know. I know. That's where folks be going, right? Don't be afraid. God loves you so much. God loves you so much. God loves you so much. And keep coming. We'll sing a song. We'll wait for you. We are not going to do anything until you come. We will wait for you. Let God move on your heart. Let God move on your heart. Let God move on your heart. And you come on and you give your life to the one who gave you life. Hallelujah. 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 What a glorious day this is. This is the beginning of life. Everything starts here and it goes on forever. God called you. There's a little story in the Bible that talks about a man who gets awakened at night, the same way I'm talking about. He gets awakened at night and he runs to the priest and he says, you called me. The priest says, no, I didn't call you. God called you. God called you. Would you repeat after me this prayer if it's from your heart? I just want to help you to address the Lord, and then I'll pray for you afterward. Just repeat, Lord Jesus, thank you for saving me. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for calling me. I give you my life. I give you my heart. I give you my love. I give you my trust. And let me pray for you. Lord Jesus, I thank you for my brothers and my sisters. Thank you that it's you who've called us. Thank you that it's you who've laid your life down. You laid your life down so that we don't have to die. You took our punishment so that we could walk in forgiveness. We never have to die. We never have to go back. Lord, thank you for waking us from a nightmare. Thank you that it's you who called us. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Pray for my brothers and my sisters, oh God, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray that you make your name known, that you make your love known, that you make your great salvation known, that every life that is represented here, every heart, every soul is free. But you said, whoever the Son sets free is free indeed. You said, we will know the truth and the truth will set us free. You said that you save and you save to the uttermost. And we believe in you, Lord Jesus. Believe in you for everyone here. Now we ask that you bless each one. Seal by your Spirit, lock by your Spirit this decision, and keep it by your own faithfulness. We thank you for this, oh Jesus, and we love you for it. In Jesus' holy name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.